Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Welcome, 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 everybody. This is Dave Woodward with Funnel Hacker Radio. I am super excited today because today is episode 50. Yes, that's right. We finally crashed through the 50 mark, and I'm super excited today because we have the opportunity of having a great, great friend of mine, Calvin Wayman, on. Calvin, welcome, welcome.
Brother Dave, I'm so pumped to be here. Super excited that you asked me on, and I'm excited to see what we talk about today.
Dude, that is crazy cool because for me, I met you at our Funnel Hacking Live event down in San Diego a couple months ago when we were doing this publicity thing, and Andrew O'Brien basically put together, you know, bunch of writers and everything else, and all of a sudden this guy pops out of nowhere, who's a writer for Entrepreneur Magazine. But before we even get there, I gotta say again, you guys who don't know Calvin's a guy who basically literally just 18 months ago left his job to pursue this online life, and it's been a great ride to watch him. He basically just crushed through and just by influence.com, I believe, it's just basically nominated as one of the top 30 under 30. And as a speaker, guru, author, just crushing it in all sorts of different areas. So, Calvin, I'm, again, super excited. But so tell me real quick about what made you decide to quit your job and pursue this crazy lifestyle?
Man, to be honest, I always wanted to, you know, especially anybody listening to this, if you're in the online space, there's like that entrepreneurial bone. And I had it my whole life. Really, the question isn't what made you quit. It's like what kept you there so long, you know? And really, the straight answer to that is fear. You know, it was unknown. I didn't really have a ton of like entrepreneurial people that I hung out with. I mean, I found out later that Russell was actually like my neighbor growing up in Utah. We lived close, but we ran in different circles. I was making fun of him the other day, actually. We were chatting a little bit on Snapchat, and he said he graduated in 98 or something, and that's the big problem. That shows you how old he is. He graduated in the 90s. So so I didn't really have the influence of entrepreneurship, but I had the natural drive. I got into books. I started studying entrepreneurs from afar, and it just got to the point where finally one day I just said, I'm going to quit. And it was really – some people have said, well, what was the why, or what was the positive thing that pushed you? And something that I think is important for entrepreneurs to know, and what's certainly true with my story, is sometimes it's not something positive that pushes you into take action. It's negative. So I had fear holding me down. And the interesting thing that actually got me to move was actually me using fear against itself with a bigger fear. So I just asked myself one day, I projected myself 10 years into the future and kind of had a dialogue with my 10-year-older self and said, what if I don't do this? What if I wake up 10 years later and I'm still an employee job, unfulfilled, then what? And the fear of that happening and the fear of the fire inside me dying and me not even caring that I was in the same spot anymore, the fear of that being a reality is actually what made me say, you know what? These littler fears are small enough to get swallowed, and I just quit, and I quit before I knew what I was going to do next. So that's what got me to quit my job.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell me real fast then, I mean, the crazy thing for me is what you've done in 18 months. I mean, there's a lot of people who quit their job or get fired or go through a traumatic thing, and now they're sitting there. But the amount of speed and what you've accomplished, all the crazy things you have, that's what's so impressive to me is what you've done in 18 months. So how did you use that fear to do all that you've done and kind of tell people some of the stuff that you've actually have accomplished and, more importantly, what you've got on the horizon as well?
Well, the thing that got me moving, I think, because as soon as I quit, it felt exciting and awesome. Then a day passed. Like, it certainly – I mean, it's crazy to look back on it now because you're right. It's been a lot of stuff. But in the day-to-day, it doesn't feel that way. Like, in the day-to-day, it's just getting up, feeling afraid, feeling the fear or the anxiety or even the depression sometimes as a new entrepreneur, feeling lonely and doing something anyway. And doing that consistently, cool stuff happens. So one of the things that I used to be known as the idea guy, and this is significant because right now, because of the space I'm in, people can call me like I'm such an action taker and stuff like that. That's so weird to even hear that because I was never considered that in my previous life, but as an employee and stuff. But what changed that, what did it for me is right when I quit my job, I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. And I ended up moving to Southern California from Utah to do door to door. And I did that because number one, I wanted to challenge myself. And I had a mentor tell me that if you could do door to door, like 4 months of door to door was like a 4-year business degree. And if you could do that, you could do pretty much anything. And so I took that and I was like, I'm going to do that. And I'll tell you this, Dave, it was the worst experience of my life.
I can imagine.
And because of that, because it was the worst experience, it became the best experience because it taught me to – sometimes you work your face off and you don't get a result. It's not an hourly wage. It's only based on the results that are produced. And sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes you work your face off and you don't get anything from it. And that's life and business. And so I think that doing the door-to-door thing right away was like ripping the Band-Aid and was what has pushed me to feel great about doing the other stuff I'm doing in business because now when I'm working on my business or cold calling, it's fun and easy compared to the door slammed in the face or the dogs chasing you and stuff like that. So that's what I would say has really got me into gear and to just keep pushing.
I love that. Actually, I just did a Facebook Live the other day about the true comfort lies outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Well, thanks. And I thought it's neat for me as I've seen all that you've been doing. Again, when I first met you, I just thought you were a writer. And all of a sudden, I started following you. And I'm like, this guy's out there absolutely crushing it. I mean, he's doing social media. He's helping build other people's brands. He's writing a book. I mean, you've done a ton. And I think it's pretty cool for me, as I've gotten to know you better, Calvin, sitting there watching you progress. And how, as you've mentioned there, I mean, even on some of your episodes and things where you were like, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it. And you're a guy who does just puts himself out there to learn it. And as you've learned it, you become the guy that everyone else goes back to say, hey, so how do you do this?
It's been crazy. Dude, you're so right. I've fallen into that. And the way I've fallen in is just realizing that done's better than perfect. And you mentioned seriously, that's pushed me. And one of the – you asked me like what are some of the things I've done. I mean, the first few months was just grind. And it's crazy to think that now – I mean – contributed writer and featured for Entrepreneur Magazine, featured in Huffington Post, Social Media Examiner, just got named one of the top 30 entrepreneurs under the age of 30. My book, Fish Out of Water, came out July 1st, started my business, Cobbs Media, and now just getting into speaking and growing my business at the same time. So it's been a wild ride, a very wild ride.
Well, the crazy thing is just one of those is a wild ride. But when you start putting all of them together, I mean, writing a book, that's a wild ride. I mean, becoming a published author and a recognized contributor to Entrepreneur Magazine thing, that's a wild ride. So tell me real quick, how did you become a writer?
Dude, that's – I don't even consider myself one, which is weird.
I know you don't. Right? That's why I wanted to find out. How'd you do it?
So this is literally what started. So – As I was doing the door-to-door thing, I was now like, okay, what am I going to do next? That's more my own thing. Now, the thing I loved about door-to-door is I had no boss. It was my own thing. I worked when I wanted to, but I had to learn to just push myself and go out every day, even though I didn't want to. But along the same side, while I was doing the door-to-door thing, I was like, what's the next thing for me? And it was Periscope. So Periscope, for those of you that – I mean, you probably know, it's a live streaming application. And when I – in fact, Russell does them quite often, at least he used to. And when I got into Periscope, I started teaching other people how to use it. And I ended up connecting with one of my good friends at an event in Las Vegas. The event was called Thrive. It's where I met Gary Vaynerchuk for the first time. There were people like Robert Herjavec from Shark Tank, a lot of big hitters. It was a ton of fun. But at that event, I had a friend, Jeff Woods, ask me, do I know how to write? Like, he just asked me. We were having breakfast, and he was like, so what's your next thing? What's the next step for you in your business? And I was like, well, now I know about Periscope. Now I just need to get out there and get known. And he was like, can you write? And I was like, I guess so. I mean, I did pretty – I've been journaling every day since I was 17. So I've been a little practiced that way. I haven't really didn't really write articles or whatever. And I said, I think so. And he said, if you give me an article pitch on Periscope, then I'll show it to my editor over at Entrepreneur. And so that was what got me in the door. I was like, heck yeah, that sounds awesome. Now, in good old entrepreneurial fashion, I gave just as a lot of entrepreneurship stories go, as I have found, when I gave the article pitch, it was rejected. You know, they didn't say yes right away. But I went back to the drawing board. The door was still open. And instead of sending another article pitch to them, I sent three at a time. So then the editor got to pick out of the three. And that's what got me in. And the rest is history. That's what it's just followed from there to Huffington, to Social Media Examiner, and a few other blogs that I've been in since.
That's awesome. So real quick on this topic, kind of before we go on to the next one, that is, if a person wanted to write or to get published in a magazine like that, can you give a couple tips to it?
Yes, absolutely. It's so funny. I just barely had somebody call me, and I just told them these tips, so I'll tell them to you as well. So the first one is realize that editors are people. And so think of – and you have to imagine if they have hundreds of submissions, they don't have time to read all of them. So the first thing is never send in your whole article, ever. They don't have time to read a whole article. So when that was my big mistake. When I first sent one in, I sent most of the article. He just glanced over it, and it was too labor intensive, so he rejected it. So the first thing that I tell people is give them the bare bones, and I mean literally bare bones. Headline, mine was the headline, two things, headline and the bullet points of the three topics or the three main points of the article. That's it. Headline, bullet points, less than a sentence on those bullet points. And that made it so easy so that within 5 seconds, the editor can get an idea of what that article is all about, right? And the second thing is what I told you I did. I got not just one article pitch like that. I did three at a time. So now an editor is looking at three different ideas, three different headlines, just three different ideas, and now they have choice. People like choices. They like their job made easier. Instead of like hemming and hawing if this is a good article or not, they're like, okay, out of these three, which one do I like the best? And then they pick one. So that's what I say to people. I've had other people test that out on different magazine outlets, and it's worked. And it's what I've done to get in other doors as well. So bare bones, strip it down, and instead of one pitch, send three.
Oh, that's awesome. So now we've gone from being a writer in Entrepreneur Magazine, all of a sudden you decide to write a book, Fish Out of Water.
Yes.
Explain that one.
I've always wanted to write a book. And the reason is when I first got into like entrepreneurship in general, it was actually like 6 years ago, I'd say, when I was 22. Last year in college, I never read a book ever. Like I'd maybe read one or two books a year. And I had a mentor tell me, who was also a business professor. I asked him once, what should I do to become a better influencer and a better communicator? And he said, read a lot of books. I was like, awesome. How much is a lot? Like 3 or 4 books a year, 10 books a year? He said, read a book a week. I was like, what? And right after I complained, he was like, a book a day would be better, but a book a week would do. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'll do that. And I had a bit, I could not read. I could not like, I would just fall asleep. And so I discovered audiobooks. And so that's what I started to do. And when I first started listening to audiobooks, just again, total open transparency here, I didn't do it for the sake of getting the information. I did it just because I wanted to say I freaking read a book. And so one of the first books I read was Rich Dad Poor Dad. And if an audiobook was 7 hours, I knew if I just listened to it an hour a day, it'd be done in a week. Didn't even matter if I consumed the content. But doing this and getting into books, I opened up a whole world to my brain I did not even know existed. And Rich Dad Poor Dad is what even got me into the sales business. I started reading about other books about entrepreneurship, and it made such a big impact on my life throughout the years that I was like, you know what? I want to give back someday in book form, because books have given me so much over the last 6 years that I just want to do it. And so I've always wanted to, Dave. What made me pull the trigger is a guy that you know, Caleb Maddox.
Right? Of course. Yeah, so, Caleb just last week.
Yeah, so those of you guys that didn't catch the Caleb episode, let me just tell you. Caleb is a guy who has a six-figure business. He has spoken on stages with people like Gary Vaynerchuk. He's been interviewed by Grant Cardone and tons of other people. And here's the punchline. He's 14. Right? So I first met Caleb January this year. And when I talk to him, I refer to him as the excuse murderer. Because that's what he did for me. Because I always wanted to write a book, but I was like, well, I need to be older, smarter, more experienced. And when I met him and saw that he wrote a book 2 years ago, mind you, when he was 12, then I was like, there's no more excuse for me. I'm not going to wait. And so for one of my New Year's resolutions in January, I just said, you know what? I'm going to write a book this year, and it's going to be done by the middle of the year. So that's what I did.
That's awesome. So for those who aren't familiar with Fish Out of Water, tell them real quick about how they can get it, what it's about.
Totally. So the easiest place to grab it is at calvinwayman.com/book, just my first and last name.com /book. And what it is, it's a very sensitive spot for me, because Fish Out of Water is something that I don't think is talked about enough in entrepreneurship and in life. It's a period of time, a phase that everybody goes through at some point in their life, especially when they are leveling up any area. Whether you're trying to get better in finances, your business, your health, we get to this point where it feels weird, feels awkward. You feel like you're out of your element. You feel like a fish out of water, right? It's just like people set a New Year's resolution. They get excited for the first few weeks, but then by February, everybody gives up because they hit this stage. The tragedy is when people hit this stage, since it feels out of their element, they go back to what feels normal, which unfortunately is their comfort zone, their mediocrity, or what I call their fishbowl of mediocrity. And so what this book is all about is, first of all, what the fish out of water stage is, so you know that it's coming and that it's not ignored and it's to be expected, and it doesn't mean you're weird or there's something wrong with you. It's normal. You're going to hit it. But more importantly, it's all about when you hit the fish out of water stage, what to do to get to the other side, to literally transform and to make a new standard for yourself. And when you do that, you can't go back, and it's what I call transforming into a shark.
I love it. I thought the cool thing actually was the way that you actually ended up selling those copies. And if you don't mind, share a little bit about that. That was awesome.
You're talking like the Facebook Live type of a thing?
Absolutely, yes.
So, yeah, the cool thing about this book, besides that it hit the number one it hit the top 100 in Amazon on a super broad category, the success category. And the reason I'm super pumped about that is there's so many marketers and everything that talk about going in a sub category and selling two copies at 2 a.m. in the morning so you can say number one. And I was like, I'm not going to do any of that. I think this belongs in the success category, and it's still hitting the top 100. I'm like, yes, that's awesome. All of that was done organically. And how I promoted it is – none of my audience actually knew I was writing a book. I kept it a secret. And to kind of push myself to write it, I told them something was coming. And I also told them I was going off of social media for 2 weeks. And I did it because I needed to freaking focus to get it off the ground. But it took me about a month and a half, 2 months to write it. And then I announced it all over my different channels that I was going to be doing a Facebook Live that's going to be the biggest announcement ever. I had a ton of people come on that live. I mean, just that first live, I had about 80 people come on, and 70 of them bought the book right there, just because it was just a ton of fun. And another thing I did to drive the book sales is I had a raffle. Anybody that bought a book got a raffle ticket. And with that raffle ticket, they were put in a drawing to win Apple products. I gave away an Apple Watch, an iPad Mini, and a MacBook Pro. And it was just a cool bonus. And it was super cool, especially when it was coming to the end. I would notice people that didn't buy. I could then now contact them and say, hey, didn't know if you were going to wanted to grab a copy of my book, but I'm doing the drawing tomorrow. So if you're ever going to get it, now's the time. And they were like, heck yes. In fact, I'll get five, you know? So... And so that's kind of how it was. It was a fun month. It was one of the most fun projects I ever did, was launching that book. It was a blast.
I think that's awesome. I think it was cool how, for one, I loved following it and seeing your Facebook Live and seeing what you were doing on it, because obviously from a marketing angle, I thought it was just brilliant. Very, very cool idea. But I think the other thing that I really liked is the fact that you weren't going for being a number one best-selling author in the small niche of
– yeah.
Whatever it might have been. So that was awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. That means a lot, especially coming from a marketer, because all this was is I came up with a raffle idea like the day before the launch. So a friend helped me give the idea. So coming from a marketer saying that, then that is just really stroking my ego a little bit.
Well, it deserved to be stroked. You did a great job. So I want to jump to the next one, which I think is just a crazy – so again, those of you guys who are listening here, obviously Calvin's a – is just out there crushing it in multiple different areas. And what I want to spend time on is really what you're passionate about these days right now. And that's on this whole idea as far as a social media makeover and what you're doing to really help build that whole idea, as far as that's kind of becoming the area where, again, a guy who, you know, 18 months, 2 years ago, really didn't know that much about social media is now becoming the go-to guy for social media makeovers and stuff. So talk a little bit about what it is you're doing and how you're driving people in and all that kind of fun stuff.
You're putting me too high. I would say 8, 10, 12 months ago, I didn't.
That's crazy.
Nobody – that's the thing is I was a little bit intimidated by social media in the beginning, to be honest. In fact, I don't know if you're familiar with the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, but when I first got on social media, I was afraid to even show my face. So I had a picture of Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes as my profile picture. And so then I decided to change that. But my passion right now with social media is it's changed my life. Yeah, nobody knew who I was. Like I said, when I first got featured in Entrepreneur Magazine, that was this January. So all the stuff that's happened over the last 18 months has quit my job, but most of everything, from getting the features to getting known and writing the book and starting my business, has happened since January this year. And a lot of credit goes to how fast it's been able to be spread through the power of social media. And so that's what I'm passionate about doing, is showing people how to use social media super, super effectively. And what I've kind of discovered is, as I'm all about simplifying things and finding the very most potent, simple things that give you the biggest bang for your buck. And so I don't know if you want me to go into strategy, but I have four. Okay, awesome. Because I love talking about these. I have four core, I call them the four C's to social media success. The four C's to social media success. If you do these four things, it's what blows you up past everybody else on social media, and it's how you will stand out past 97% of everybody else around you. And it's been so fun to see this and help other people do it. So those four C's that I'll go through briefly and then talk about them in detail, those four C's are content, context, consistency, and connection. Okay? Content, context, consistency, and connection. So content, that's your first thing. That's your entry point. What I've discovered is most people that fail in business, meaning their business doesn't grow fast enough or they're not becoming known, it has nothing to do with them being a bad person. There's nothing to do with them even having a bad product necessarily. It's because of one thing, and this is what Grant Cardone says all the time with when he talks about the same issue. The number one thing that kills a business is obscurity, meaning there's not enough customers that know who you are. That's the problem. And so the first step to start breaking that obscurity is to get content out there. So what's content? It's anything that has to do with you, your story, or your brand. It's video, it's posting. But a distinction that I make is it's your why, not your what. And I say that because a lot of people use social media, I think, in the wrong way, where they're always talking about their vehicle. This is super huge in network marketing. I love network marketing. A lot of my clients are in the industry. But one of the things that a lot of amateurs do is they talk about their what, their business, and they post stuff like, I need this many people and stuff like that. And it's stuff people don't care about on social media. What sticks is when you talk about your why. So if it's content around what you believe, if you follow people that crush it, like Gary Vaynerchuk, I'll use him as an example. He's always showing content that's around his beliefs. Like, you have to hustle if you're going to be successful. You need to have self-awareness. Don't live for Friday and the weekends. Your shit is broken, as he says, if you are. Like, all those are stuff that he believes in. And what that's doing is that's creating polarity. It's creating people that don't like him, are not going to follow him, and people that belief resonates with stick to him like glue. And so that's the first thing. You have to have content, and content around what you believe. And what I'll do is I'll kind of give the opposite effect that happens if you don't have these four C's. And so the first one, without content, you don't exist. Simple as that. In other people's minds, customers who matter, if you don't have content on social media, you do not exist. So that's the first C. The second C is context. Context is really cool because it's one of the most misunderstood pieces to social media. And I think a good way to before tying it to social media is to use a real world example. So can I use you kind of as a guinea pig, Dave, to kind of – okay. So you're in business, right?
Yep.
I would imagine you've probably talked to people out in the world about ClickFunnels before. Right?
I have, yes.
You probably even have business cards that show your name, Dave Woodward, and it's on a ClickFunnels card, right? And you may have even handed that to somebody before, right?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to make an assumption about you, though, because I know you. I know I'm probably stretching to make this assumption, but correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to assume that you've never gone to random funeral homes during a funeral service and handed people your ClickFunnels business card during a funeral service and talked to them about your business while the service was happening at somebody's funeral you didn't know. Am I pretty safe in assuming you've never done that before?
You're definitely safe in assuming that. I haven't done that one before.
That's good. Now here's what I want you to notice, and this is what I want everybody to notice. There's nothing wrong with talking to people about your business. There's nothing wrong about handing out your business card. What is so wrong, though, about if you did it in that type of a situation? And the answer is one thing, context. It's not the right context to do it in. It's not appropriate. That's the difference. And a lot of people forget this on social media, is you got to make sure you're fitting the right context. And every platform has a different language. Here's an example of somebody that killed it with the context. You know Oreo, the cookie company, right?
Of course.
Have you ever – once upon a time, Oreo sent a tweet out that showed a picture of a cookie in the dark, and it said, at least you can still dunk in the dark. Okay? At least you can still dunk in the dark. Any guesses on – what happened to this tweet when they sent that out?
I'm sure it got a lot of crazy responses.
It blew up. It blew up. But that's not the important part. The important part is why it blew up, and it actually went viral. Question is why? And here's why. Something you may know is, do you remember a couple years ago, Dave, when during the Super Bowl? In the middle of the Super Bowl, the lights went out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal, right? Freaking lights went out. Okay, so while the lights were out, people get are bored as out of their mind. They're sitting in the stands. What do? They pull out their phone. They go to social media. They go to Twitter. And right there in the middle of the darkness is when they see the tweet from Oreo that says, at least you can still dunk in the dark. You getting this?
Absolutely.
So that is why it blew up, because of one thing, the perfect context in which it was placed. That is why. That same tweet could have been sent done a day before or the day after, zero effect. But because it was done in the right moment, the right context, that everything around the edges were right, that's what made it stick. So without the right context, you're not respected. You're not – it's not going to stick. It's not appropriate. But when you have the right context, it sticks. Okay?
That's awesome.
So that's the first two. The third one is consistency. Question. If I say, Dave, and everybody can answer this to your own in your own head if you're listening to this in your car at the gym. If I say think of a big yellow M in fast food, who do you automatically think of?
McDonald's.
Yep. If I say think of a red soda soft drink, you automatically know
Coca-Cola.
Yes. Now, why the heck is – this is so cool. I've done this exercise with people in the in different countries, and it's just clicks. It's you don't even think. Big yellow M, McDonald's. Why is that? And it, the reason it is because they have been so consistent in who they are. So on your social media, that's what you got to do. You got to be consistent in who you are and your story and what you're trying to portray. The second side of consistency, though, is consistent in how often you're getting yourself out there. Because if you're posting, like a lot of people will post like 1 to 3 times a week. If you do that, you're not being consistent and people won't remember you. So what I recommend to my clients is we usually post 2 to 5 times a day per platform, by the way. So that is where you're gonna show and be consistent, because without consistency, you're just simply not remembered. Make sense?
Makes complete sense.
So the last C, and this C is to me the most important thing on social media. It's the reason we do anything on social media, and that is connection. Connection is what you're doing. You're in the people businesses. I tell people that it's kind of a should be a no-brainer, but I remind them your followers are people too. You know, like there's other people on the side of that. Treat them like people. And when you have a solid connection, things just explode from there. Are you familiar with Morton Steakhouse, Dave? You probably heard of it.
Of course, so, yeah.
So there's a really super cool story of a company that just had such a badass connection, and it went so far. A guy was getting on a plane, and he just did a blast message on his Twitter saying, man, I wish I had a Morton steak at the end of this plane ride. He wasn't serious. He was joking. It was almost like you tag the winter and say, dear winter, please go away. Like, it was a total joke. This is what's crazy, though. He lands, and guess what's right there at the end of his plane, like there in the terminal when he lands?
A Morton steak.
You guessed it. There was a gentleman dressed in a full tuxedo, bow tie, white gloves and all, with a full course. And anybody that doesn't know, Morton's is like high end. The meal was over $100, full course, completely for free. Now, if you think all of the stuff that went into this, it's mind-blowing. For them to see the tweet, first of all, to find out what flight he was on, to see when it's landing, to get approval to even do this crazy concoction thing, like to create the meal, to have it packaged, to make sure it's going to still be warm and to have it timed right. A lot of stuff went into that. The question is, do you think that made a connection with this guy?
And everybody he knows and a ton of other people. I'm sure that
that's
crazy.
That's the thing. It made such a connection. He went nuts. He told everybody he knew. He wrote a blog post about it, and it went viral. And it's been shared thousands of times. And Morton's as a brand blew up because of one thing, a simple connection. And kind of something that's a little bit closer to home. I'll share something that just happened to me recently that's cool with this. A couple weeks ago, I was scrolling through my Facebook, and I find this video of three Australian dudes in a studio doing a podcast interview. First of all, I was kind of wondering why it was showing up in my newsfeed, but then I listen in, and you know, guess what they're talking about when I listen in? You'll probably never guess.
No idea.
Me. They're talking about me, Calvin Wayman. I'm like, what? I didn't even recognize him. First of all, I'm in the U.S. I don't even have my passport yet. I've never even been outside of the United States. And these were people in Australia, different accent, different side of the world. And so I watched, and they talked about me for 5 minutes. Why and how did it happen? This is how. Come to find out, one of the guys in that video, his name's Gerks. He followed me on Instagram at the beginning of this year, like 6 months ago. So when he followed me, I, instead of usually just ignoring a new follow or even creating an automated text that says thanks, I decided to send a quick video. That's my real face, my real voice. And I did a quick video that said, hey, brother, I just noticed you followed me. Thank you so much. And I said his name or tried to. And it took me 4 seconds. That one little thing, that one little video, he said made such an impact on him because he's never had it before. He's never had anybody do that. That bit made enough of a connection that he's been stalking me around social media for the last 6 months without me even knowing it. He bought a bulk order of my books when they came out without me even knowing about it and was giving 10 of them away on that podcast interview without me knowing about it. And he's on the other side of the world in a country I've never been to.
That's
how
connection. That's awesome.
4 second connection. That is social media right there. And so that's what I teach. That's what I believe in, is everything should drive to that. No comments should be left behind. You know, you should connect with your people. And if you do these 4 things together, there's just no – it's not even fair. The cool thing is it's super easy to stand out because nobody does it. So if you do these 4 things together, content, context, consistency, build connections with your people, then you're just going to stand out and you'll be very, very well known on your social media.
That is awesome. But I wish you had all day, and I did as well. I would love to keep going, man. This is great, great content. And again, Calvin, it's been so fun for me to watch. Again, I alluded to 18 months, and you're right. I mean, I look back, it really has been since the first of the year that you really kind of blew up on stage and everywhere else. And I just, I'm so proud. Again, 8 months is, I mean, first of all, 18 months is one thing. But the fact is, you're right. You know, the last first 10 months or so is just trying to figure out what you're doing. But then you're such a massive action taker. It's cool to see. And congratulations on being on our friend JLD, John Lee Dumas's Ego Fire. I'm super excited for the episode. I think that's a... that's a huge milestone to be able to get on his program. So I'm excited to hear you on that one as well. So congratulations, bud.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Well, again, we're going to wrap things up here. And before we do, I want to make sure people have some way of getting a hold of you, because I know a lot of people are going to be dying to at this point. How do they reach out to you? How do they get a hold of you?
Oh, the first thing is I'm going to give away that social media makeover. So one thing I'm giving away right now is helping people stand out past the 97% of everybody on social media. So if you want me to do a very specific, me or somebody on my team, a very specific makeover to your social media, then go to socialmediamakeover.org. Again, it's .org, not .com. Socialmediamakeover.org. And we'll just go deeper with what I just gave you on social media to just help you personally stand out, see what you're about, and separate yourself from everybody else on social media, socialmediamakeover.org. And then where to find me? You can find me by searching Calvin Wayman pretty much anywhere. So my website's calvinwayman.com. I was able to grab that, so that's good. You can just Google Calvin Wayman or find me on Facebook at Calvin Wayman, Snapchat at Calvin Wayman, or Instagram at Calvin Wayman.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Massive congratulations to you. I just love seeing people having massive success. And especially,
well, I'll be clear. I'm not where I want to be. I haven't arrived. I'm still after this thing. So yeah, I'm going to stay in the game for a while.
Well, the great thing is you're not even 30 yet, bud. So I think you got a little bit of time.
Yep. That's the goal. I'm still trying to crush it and hit that. The pursuit I'm after is hitting $1 million in revenue by the time I'm 30. So that's the path and the journey I'm on now.
Well, that's fantastic. We'd love to welcome you into the Two Comma Club, and I think that'd be very, very cool. So congratulations again on all your success, and thank you for your time today, bud.
Dave, I certainly appreciate it, and I hope I look forward to connecting with you sometime in person in the future.
Will do. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.